side. Rest to the restless, freedom from fear, when things seem impossible.
It's now time for worship with the Family Circle of Souls Harbor. We invite you, your family, and your friends in this next hour to worship with Pastor Rick Libby and the Souls Harbor Singers as they lead you in the songs of the church and in the sharing of God's Word.
For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to another Souls Harbor Sunday morning worship service. We're glad that you've chosen to join us. I hope that you'll be able to stay with us throughout this service today, for I believe God's got something good in store for us. I'm Pastor Rick Libby, the senior pastor of the Souls Harbor Ministry. I have the privilege of leading you and guiding you with the help of the Holy Spirit today as we introduce the songs and the singers to you and then share something from the Word of God. As I awoke from my sleep this morning, I woke thinking of that verse of Scripture found in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I can't begin to, in my own mind, imagine just how great a love that must have been. And yet, God did it for you and I. As we begin our service today, I want us to look at that thing called love, especially the love of God for you and I. I can't think of a better song to have sung than the song that I've asked Wanda St. Peter to come and sing for us as we get started with our worship service. She's coming to sing that great old song, The Love of God. If you know this song, sing it with her. But even if you don't know it, take time while she's singing it to thank God for His great love. For surely today, His love changes everything.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from His sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
I'm sure today that we have all heard the expression that talk is cheap. We've also heard it said that if love doesn't cost us something, is it really love? Well, let me help you on both counts today. God said in John 3:16 that He loved the world. In fact, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Well, that settles the question. He loved us, and He proved it by taking action. He gave, and what He gave was the most precious thing that He had to give for you and I. When we look to Jesus Christ, the Son that was given, I think we also can say the same thing, that it wasn't just words, but He backed up His words with action. In the book of John, chapter 1, it talks about in the beginning was the Word. And it goes on to talk about how the Word became flesh. Not only was God the Father loving us to the point where He was willing to give on our behalf, but He that was given was willing to come to say to us, I love you. He went further than just coming. He proved His love in a way that, well, the Scripture says it, there is no greater love than that a man has when he lays down his life for another. When you go to the old rugged cross of Calvary, you'll discover just how much Jesus loved you and I. There's a song that Holly Warman is coming to sing today that I think says it best. It's just simply entitled, Written in Red.
In letters of crimson, God wrote His love. on a hillside so long, long ago. For you and for me, Jesus died, and love's greatest story was told. I love you, I love you. That's what Calvary said. I love you, I love you. The same hands that suffered and bled, giving all he had to give, a message so easily read. I love. What Calvary said, I love you, I love you, I love you.
I think the songwriter wrote it best. He showed his love by writing it in the red of his own blood. God so loved you and me that he sent his mercy to find us so his grace could save us. When that grace was applied and covered our lives, oh, how it began to change things for us. We are greatly blessed and highly favored of God because not only did God save us, but God began to work on our behalf where he changed so many aspects of our life that we cannot begin to name them all. Listen to what the song that Nyla Carmichael and Sue Ellen Deere are coming to sing says, for I think it says it really well. We've got so much to be thankful for.
When I look around and see the good things he does for me, I know I'm unworthy. Thank him for. I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me. When
stop and say, Lord, thank you for all you've done for me. And one day I'll reach heaven sure, oh please, let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank you for.
I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he brought me from, I've got so much to thank him. Thank him for.
I sincerely doubt today that we could ever number all of the blessings that God has poured out upon us. They are so numerous. And then there is this. There are things that God does for us that we don't see with our eye. We don't hear with our ear. We know nothing about. God has been working in the background. He has been taking care of things that we've been able to avoid because he has been blessing us. And then there are those times when we get caught up in the affairs of life and we might miss the blessings that God has prepared. And so he very carefully guides our footsteps, getting us to move in the right direction so that we can walk into that moment where we can experience the miraculous power of an almighty God. Today, I hope that the blessings of your life will help you to know that God wants to bless you again. God never tires in doing good things for his children, especially when his child is, as some of you are today, in trouble. You're going through something that's putting you to the test, that's just wearing you down and wearing you out. Except for God stepping in, you just don't know what you're going to do. Well, I believe that because we're going to take a moment out of this service today to take your needs to God in prayer, that God is going to hear our cry, and he's going to come to where you are and begin to minister to the needs of your life. Before this day is through, you're going to have a number of other things to praise God for and to be thankful for because God has once again been good to you. I want to remind you just one more time that God needs faith in order to move. That's the only thing he asks us for. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's that grain of mustard seed faith that Jesus talked about that will move the mountains out of our life. And so today, take that little bit of faith. That's all God is asking of us. Take that little bit of faith and let's trust God for mighty miracles. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we can't begin to thank you enough for the blessings that you have already poured out upon our lives. We have no way to know of the blessings that you have prepared that have yet to come. But Lord, we know because of your goodness, because of your love, your grace, your mercy, you have already prepared many, many things for us to receive. And so, Lord, ahead of those gifts, we thank you for your goodness towards us. Lord, as we stand here in prayer today, we're asking you to minister to those in this audience that are in great need. Their needs are larger than they are. They don't have a resource, a supply that can take care of the need, the challenge that they are facing. So I pray that you will divinely intervene on their behalf, that right now they will feel your presence wherever they may be, and in your presence may they have an assurance that, God, you're going to make a way, even though in the natural there doesn't seem to be any way possible. Today I pray for miracles, and it's for those miracles that we thank you for we've asked you these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
When the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there is someone who cares for you. When you have tears in your eyes, your heart inside, there is someone who cares for you. Someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. A friend to the end, there is someone who's a friend to you. Someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears.
So far in this service today, we have been focusing more on the side of God showing His love towards you and I. In this next song, I want us to shift our focus. You see, it's wonderful that God loves us, but how do you feel about God? Today, if we're not expressing our love and appreciation to Him, we might want to question just how we really do feel about the things that God has been doing for us. Could it be that we have become so selfishly minded that we want that love to be one-sided, where it's just God showing He loves us? Or do we want to make sure that we are saying to Him, "I love you"? Today, in this song that evangelist Jonathan Garlock and his wife Marcia are coming to sing, it talks about the man in the middle. But more importantly, it says, "I love that man in the middle." It's the story of Jesus as He dies on Golgotha's hill. Today, I hope that wherever you may be in the midst of whatever you're going through, that you're finding a way to stop and say, "I love you." Do it while these folk are coming to sing this great old song, "The Man in the Middle."
Mm-hmm. There was a mountain. There were three trees. There was a good man. There were two thieves. A man called Barabbas was doomed for the tree. Oh, but Jesus took the middle one, and Barabbas went free. And I love that man in the middle, because I know he first loved. So I could go free. On a hill called Golgotha, the place of a skull, no yellow flowers, no trees in bloom, the scenery was so dull. Three crosses stood black and bold against the darkened sky. Not from pain, but a broken heart, that middle man died. And I so I could go free. If you love him today, just give him praise. I love that man in the middle, because he's done so very much for me. So I could go free. Oh, the middleman made it possible. So I could go free.
I know that we've already said a lot about the subject of love in this service already, but let me add this one little comment and then we'll move on. One thing I've learned about love is that if you love something or someone in particular, you're going to want to find a way to show that love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When we turn around and we give our love to God, we're willing to give God everything and anything that we have. We love him so much. But then when you carry that a little bit further, you're going to come to a place where you love the same things that God loves. One of the things that I've learned down through the years is that God loves every one of you. No matter what your story may be, God loves you. And for that reason, we love you. And we'd like to show that love to you by coming every Sunday morning to offer a word of encouragement, to say something that might help to increase your faith or bring comfort and peace to your heart and your mind. Now, I quickly have a question to ask you today. What do you love? I'm hoping that somewhere in the mix of things that you love, you can say that you love Souls Harbor. In fact, I'm praying that there'll be some folk that will love Souls Harbor enough that they'll be willing to take just one more little step, and that step is to help us to remain here to do what we are doing each and every week. We need some folk today, just put it in simple, honest terms, we need some folk today that love Souls Harbor enough to give a financial contribution to help us to defray the cost of airing this worship service each Sunday morning. Whatever you give today will help us with today's service. Tomorrow, we'll begin to trust the Lord for next week's service and pray that somehow God brings enough in so that we can take care of the cost of that service. But before that service arrives, we need to take care of this one. So would you please prayerfully consider what God would have you to do as an expression of your love for God and for what He's done in and through this ministry, and get in touch with us in the next few days and let us know what you're going to do to help us. I want to give you our contact information. If you jot this down and then in the next few days, contact us and let us know what you're going to do to help us. In the U.S., you would write to Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 275, Corinth, Maine, 04427. If you'd like to make a contribution by MasterCard, Visa, or Discover Card, please call our U.S. office at 207-285-3131. And then you can also, in the U.S., take advantage of making a contribution online. It's easy, just go to our website, www.soulsharbor.tv. If you click on that little button down in the left-hand corner that says Donate, you'll be able to get a contribution directly to us. For our friends in Canada, please write to our Canadian office at Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 611, Centerville, New Brunswick, E7K3H5. In Canada, if you'd like to make a contribution by MasterCard, Visa, or Discover Card, please call our Canadian office at 506-276-3551. Thank you so much for helping to share the burden of this ministry. Today, your gift will not only be a help to you, but it will become a blessing to others as we're able to reach out one more time with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I get ready to go over and share something from the Word of God, I want to sing a song about one of my favorite subjects in the Word of God. I have learned so many things from this individual's life that has helped me in my own life that today I want to share it with you. The secret to surviving and making it, despite all of the things that are happening around us, is that in the midst of it all, we shall stand and give God praise and to give our love to Him. Listen to this song as we sing, In the Midst of It All.
Have you done to deserve all this? Curse God and die. What advice for a man who had trusted God for most of his life? Then Job speaks as he stands among a broken down door. I shall stand and not fall, and I'll bless his holy name. In the midst of it all, in the midst of it all, I found hope that will never let me fall. Jesus heard my call. The day ever come when everyone bows their head to Christ, when man has done all that man can do, and I'm left alone to die. Even then, when surrounded by affliction's greatest pain, in the midst of it all, I shall stand and not fall, and I'll bless his holy name. In the midst of it all, in the midst of it all, I found hope that will never let me fall. Jesus heard my call and in me stood tall, and in him I stand complete in the midst of it all. Jesus heard my call and by me stood tall, and in him I stand complete in the midst of it all.
The message of that song today. Job is one of my favorite people to study in the Word of God. In fact, I have a list of people that I think ought to be required reading of personalities in the Bible. People that we could learn some valuable life lessons from that would help us. We don't need help when everything is going good. But isn't it true that we could benefit from learning about what others have gone through when times are bad? When it feels like, for you and I, that our lives are similar to Job's, isn't it good to remember what Job did when he was at the bottom, when it looked like everything had been lost and he didn't know what to do next? That's where Job was at. He didn't know why he was going through such great adversity, so many great trials and tribulations, but he knew this. Job said, "I will not let go of my righteousness." In other words, he had put extreme value on his relationship with God, and he basically was saying that if I lose everything, the one thing I cannot lose is my relationship with God. I'm going to maintain my ways so that I can hold on to Him. You see, today everyone is going to go through trials and tribulations. It's what we do when those trials and tribulations come that will determine the outcome of our story. Paul the Apostle is another one of those lives I think would be good for us to do a character study of. Because Paul experiences many things in the natural that parallels our lives. Oh, we may not go through the same things that Paul went through, but we go through the same kinds of things that Paul goes through. One of those experiences that quickly comes to mind is his experience in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 27. Paul is on a ship bound for Italy. They've gone through a number of different terrible things when suddenly they face what is called a Euroclydon. A Euroclydon is a violent storm where the wind keeps shifting from one direction to another. It causes great waves, a tumultuous sea, and in Paul's situation, it destroyed the ship. In fact, if you look down there in Acts chapter 27, you'll see where Paul says all hope of salvation was lost. Now, here's a place nobody ever wants to find themselves, in a place where all hope is lost. You see, hope is the thing that we cling to when everything seems to be going against us. Hope makes the difference. I would call it the antidote to the venomous poison that can bring us down low to where we give up and we let times and circumstances destroy us. Paul said that the ship had been destroyed. All hope was lost. What did Paul do? Well, without actually reading it all today, you can read it when this service is over. Paul maintained his ways before God. Paul learned something from Job. Job said, I'm going to maintain my ways before God. All hope was lost, but Paul had some abstinence where he shut himself away from God that he might pray and do the things he had always done when trouble had tracked him down and found him. When Paul was praying in the belly of that ship, with all hope being lost, an angel appeared unto Paul and told Paul not to be afraid, for no life would be lost. In other words, God was going to perform a miracle at a time when it seemed like it couldn't get any worse. God was going to step in and save everyone aboard that ship. Oh, it reminds me of something that the weeping prophet, the prophet Jeremiah said. This wasn't where I was going to go for my text for this service today, but it might be a good thing for us to be reminded of what is said here in the book of Lamentations. In Lamentations chapter 3, down there at verse 21, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, the prophet who has seen horrible things, terrible things come upon his life and the lives of his people in the midst of great destruction, in verse 21 of Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Are you hearing what the prophet Jeremiah is saying? He's saying when it seems like all is lost and there is no help to be found, that I'm going to fall upon my hope, because my hope makes the difference. My hope will help me to hang on until God makes a way where there doesn't apparently seem to be any way. Here's the thing about God I want to remind you of today. God is a miracle worker. What that means to me is this, that God can make the the invisible visible, the improbable probable, the impossible possible. Friend, if you feel like you're at the end of your rope and there's nothing else that you can think of to do, just hang on and put your hope in the Lord. Because when you remember that His mercies fail not, His compassions fail not, they are renewed every morning, no matter how bad it may seem to be today, our hope in the Lord finds a way. All is not lost as long as we have hope. Here's the thing that happens to us. We go through trials and tribulations, and we panic. In our panic, we worry and fret, and we bring added stress into our lives because we're worried over things that we can't do anything about to begin with. And that worry wears us down even more until we feel like we're exhausted, we're worn out, trying this and trying that. And when we're trying this and that, we're compounding our problem by bringing more things into our lives that we're going to have to deal with. In our weariness, we sit down and we begin to despair of life. Oh, Elijah did that. David found himself at times feeling that way, where he would just rather die than to have to face another moment, another trial, another tribulation. And yet what we've learned is that the presence of God in our lives makes the difference. Having hope would seem to say to me that there is still a chance. Having hope would say to me that even though I don't think I can do anything, I do believe that God can do something. It's never too late for God. Oh, I want to remind you, when the 5,000 were hungry and there was no McDonald's, no Burger King, no Wendy's in sight, all they saw was Jesus. He was the reason for their gathering. And because they had sat there listening to Him, they got hungry. They had been there so long that now their body needed to be fed. And there was nothing in sight. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "What are we going to do?" Jesus wasn't worried. Jesus wasn't upset. He wasn't frantically trying to find a way to resolve the issue. He just said, "Well, go out there and find what you can." They found a little boy. His mama had thought ahead enough to pack him a little brown bag lunch. And he brought that to the disciples. The disciples brought it to Jesus. You're familiar with the story. Jesus began to break those loaves of bread and those fishes to where all 5,000, now that's just the men. If you take into account the women and the children, it's estimated that there were some 30,000 people that day. And yet, Jesus fed them with 5 small loaves and 2 small fishes. What happened? Jesus knew that within Him there was a miracle. When all hope was lost, He stepped in and began to make the difference. Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, is sick. They send for Jesus. Jesus and Lazarus were great friends, yet it seemed like Jesus wasn't hurrying to get to where Lazarus was. When Jesus finally shows up at the house of Lazarus, there is great wailing, great weeping taking place because Lazarus' sickness had become so severe that it took his life. His sister got angry because Jesus seemed to take his sweet old time in getting there. He was, in their minds, 4 days too late. Oh, I know this is a simple Sunday school story, but please hear what I'm trying to tell you today. when they thought there was no chance of reversing the situation that they found themselves in. Lazarus had died. We might as well mourn his loss until we can get over it, pick up the pieces, and move on. But Jesus had come that day to tell them and to show them that it's never too late with God. When you put it in God's hands and your hope is in the Lord, that hope through Jesus Christ will find a way. You know the story well. Jesus commanded for the stone to be moved away. What good would it have been to call out Lazarus' name if the stone had remained in place? They'd have never known of what was about to happen. But he said, move the stone away. And when they did, he stood at the mouth of that tomb, spoke the word, the name of Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. I'm sure that there were people around Jesus that heard what he said and said, is he crazy? Is he foolish that he thinks Lazarus, who has been dead for 4 days, is going to respond to what he said? But then suddenly they heard the grave clothes rustling on the stone step of that tomb. And as they gazed at the opening of that tomb, suddenly there was a figure standing there, wrapped in grave clothes. It was Lazarus who came to show that when Jesus speaks, things are going to happen. And I've got to tell somebody today, I'm almost out of time, but somebody needs to listen to me. It may never seem to have been as bad as it is right now. It may seem that in the natural, all hope is lost. There can be no salvation, no rescue, but you don't know what's going to happen until Jesus shows up on the scene of your life and he begins to speak to your situation, because in him and in him alone, there are miracles that are going to take place. Oh, I feel like singing that old chorus. There's a miracle in the making. One just for you. The Father is working even now. Your prayer has been heard, and the answer's on the way. There's a miracle in the making for you today. My friend to you today, is my advice to you is this. Get on your knees and talk to God. Maintain your relationship with Him, because in your relationship with Him, you're going to find what you need to be sustained through this trial and tribulation until God makes a way. I want to pray for you before we leave. Heavenly Father, right now I pray that you would let your presence be felt by every life that's in need today, that they could know they can put their hope in you, for you are there to minister to the needs of their life. Help them, I pray. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Has it been since you talked with the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone? Since your mind felt at ease, how long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you?
haven of rest, I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest